You are familiar with this fairy tale, Snow White. I mean, some of you, we grew up with Snow White, right? And inside that story, you have this evil queen who says that, look at the mirror every day in the morning, right? And ask the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the tallest pastor of them all? Right? And every day, I look at the mirror and ask myself, who is the tallest pastor of it all? Pastor Sing Yen, right? Yeah, so, of course, we don't want to go into who is the shortest or who is the, you know. But, you know, the mirror has it's a very important part of our life, even though it's already, you know, the physical mirror. It's always there. We have to look at ourselves constantly in how we look like. And recently there's this a murder. It's always sad, you know, and sobering to see how a fellow human being, under the right circumstances, can do to another human being. And there's this report about this person who got betrayed by his lover, you know, and he ran on in the heat of that circumstance, he ran on to strangle her to death. And after that incident, when he was caught and he was arrested, and the psychiatrist interviewed him, and this is where he shared that before he commit what he committed, he ran and take the blue towel just the moment before that incident. He took the blue towel, went to the toilet, and looked at himself in the mirror. And he told himself, this is what he went into his mind. He shared with the psychiatrist. He said that, I know if I do this, it will be the end of me. Yeah, and it's interesting that he shared this because, you know, he has this moment of contemplation, that moment that perhaps, I mean, if you look at himself in the mirror, he could choose to stop what he wanted to do, right? But, you know, in the end, he committed the crime. Yeah, and you know, God uses mirrors. God uses His Word, His Spirit, and even our circumstances and our relationship with one another, like mirrors to reflect upon us, not just our action, what we do or what we don't do, but to mirror, to see ourselves, to increase our awareness of what is going on in our hearts and mind. And the Bible is remarkably uninhibited to share with us what goes on in the lives of its the biblical characters. And this is why I must share that in the end, God can use all this in His sovereignty to reflect upon us using what I call the King's Mirror. People, His Word, His Spirit, relationships, just to bring upon us and show what is in our hearts. And the Word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 18, you know, how many of you are following our series in the reading of 1 Samuel? And you know that we are preaching on this whole book, 1 and 2 Samuel, on the life of David. And if you have not read chapter 18, it would be good to turn to it now and try to do a little a glimpse of reading from all the way from verse 1 to all the way to verse 18, so that it can be helpful for you to follow what I'm going to share. And it was here that you can see that in chapter 18, it's like a heavenly mirror, a king's mirror, locking into what is going on in King Saul's heart. And it's not just his action, but what was going on in his heart. And it's a very honest and unembellished account of one who was chosen and anointed as Israel's first king. It's a mirror by the king for a king. It's a mirror that reflects to us the condition of King Saul's heart. And I submit to you, when you look at it introspectively, the condition of our hearts. Right? And the title of my sharing today is The King's Mirror, Growing Through the Whole Practice, Growing Through the Practice of Spiritual Introspection. How many of you have been watching the latest movie? And there's a recently there's a movie there's stars, Brad Pitt. How many of you do not know who is Brad Pitt? Right? How many of you know this? There's a movie called Ad Astra. You know, it's the latest movie by Brad Pitt, and the news report says that this is the movie that you will see Brad Pitt like he's never before. You know, you see him, you see Brad Pitt in all the action-packed movie, but this movie, you see him close up, and he's always very still. He's in like as if it's in introspective mode. And the report says that this is an introspective movie. This is an introspective message. Right? If you can, you know, identify with the character, especially the character of Saul, you know, not just David, but Saul, it will be helpful as we go through the message. And I'd like to put it in three segments and to help us along. And first is the purpose of the king's mirror. What did God see in 1 Samuel chapter 15 when Samuel confronted Saul? You know, and the role of Samuel as the redeeming hand as the king's mirror. The person in king's mirror, in the end when we come to chapter 18, like what I mentioned just now, King Saul's heart was described explicitly. Saul's rebellion, his rebellious heart, has been shown right before our eyes, and the author of 1 Samuel described in quite detail the ongoing things that is inside himself. Right? And the third part is the people in our lives, the people with the king's mirror. You know, sometimes we have people that reflect upon us. You know, it brings out the worst of us. Sometimes it triggers certain things in our relationship. It says certain things that trigger us. And sometimes it's not a positive vibes, but it brings out not the good side of us. You know, and things sometimes, the side of us that we don't like to see. But, you know, God used them in his own purpose, in redeeming purpose, to reflect back to us what is inside our hearts. And David was placed there in chapter 18. And he is like a, with the king's mirror, reflecting to us what was going on in Saul's heart. You know, because of him, he bring out the words of Saul. And because of David, Saul really behaved. Have you seen? You never seen Saul, a king, God's anointed, responding in such a way, reacting in such a way. The purpose of the king's mirror. In James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, says that, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Right? James, Apostle James, paint God's word as a mirror. You know, not hearers only. You just see. And you don't do, it's like deceiving yourself. You know, for anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law and the law of liberty and perseveres, being not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. See, when the Lord confront us, when show his mirror upon ourselves, not just the action, but our hearts, we'll be blessed if we persevere and respond and do what he's showing to, and respond to what he's showing to us. See, the word of God is the king's mirror. It reflects what is in our hearts. The purpose is redemptive. The purpose is for us to grow. And sometimes, for us to grow, we have to sometimes see and confront things that we don't like to see in ourselves. And however, there'll be times, yeah, when we are even shocked to see what's inside our hearts. And there will be times where we are broken when God shows us what through his mirror. Right? Samuel has this role. Samuel, you know, has this role as the king's prophet. And he showed, you know, Saul not just 1, 2, 3 times. I think he was there to fulfill his role as a prophet and to show Saul not just his 1 or 2 disobedient acts, but ultimately in the final encounter with the king, he revealed to Saul the condition of his heart. Right? It's not just 1 or 2 things. So in chapter 13, chapter 10, chapter 15, he is in the battle against the Philistines, in the battle against the Amalekites. Samuel confronted Saul. Yeah, he said that you did not follow through what God has told you. God told you this, you did not follow through. You took a detail out and you did not follow through God's instruction. And when Saul was defensive and Saul was justifying himself, he still said that I follow God's instructions. And Saul and Samuel has to put the king's mirror into his heart and say that, you know, in chapter 15, 22 to 23, he said to obey is better than sacrifice. Right? To heed is better than the fat of rams. Samuel is confronting Saul and he said that this is beyond your little tools, your big sin or small sin, your little details. You choose what to obey and choose what not to obey. It is beyond that. You know, it's the tip of the iceberg, and I'm showing you that the rebellion is like the sin of divination. Arrogance, like the evil of idolatry. And because you keep swerving around, you keep rejecting God's word, God has rejected you as a king. Yeah, so it's sobering to see that, you know, at chapter 15, Samuel has to give this word to Saul. Yeah, and it would be good to understand what the Lord is saying and how this has happened. And of course, Saul did not take this reflection well. And he, as always did, his response is still filled with justification and defensiveness. His response is that, okay, forgive me, Lord. Continue. He's still worried about what other people think. And his repentance is still half-baked. And even after Samuel has left Saul, and we could see in chapter 18, his heart, what is in Saul's heart, his rebellious heart, fully blown up, you know, even to the extent of kingdom proportion. And in chapter 18, that's where, you know, his relationship with David, there's a turning point, a crucial turning point in chapter 18, what happened between Saul and David. And we have to look at it to understand what is God saying, what is God showing to us. Right? Just 2 chapters ago, King Saul was happily recruiting David into the service because David knows how to play the harp, you know, and he knows how to minister. And because Saul was, in distress, and because David is able to minister to him, Saul took him by his side. And in the word, it says that Saul loved him greatly. In chapter 16, verse 21 to 23, he told Jesse, the father, said, let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight. Right? And whenever David plays the lyre, you know, in the word says, he plays with the hand, King Saul was ministered, and the harmful spirit departed from him. So, in chapter 18, right, 2 chapters, David was playing the harp, right, and he was ministering to Saul as his usual, you know, and guess what happened in chapter 18 when he was halfway doing that? How many of you know what happened? Yeah? Okay? He saw a spear moving into his direction at don't know how many kilometers per hour. Right? He saw a spear moving to him. So David, you know, halfway playing, can you imagine playing the harp? Then suddenly he was speared. Right? And he has even quicker reflex than Keanu Reeves in The Matrix, right? He evaded the spear. You know, not just one time. And then he was there in the radar, and I believe Saul speared him two times, because Saul was wanting to kill David. So what happened? What happened? You know, what happened from love David so greatly, you know, and found him like, you know, a new friend, to a point where he become, at the end of chapter 18, Saul treated him like the worst of enemies, his greatest adversary. What happened in between? And chapter 18 described in full detail, right? What happened? And I just put it in three flow of stages to help us to understand. And first is the competitor, the comparison, and the conspiracy. Right? And in the beginning of chapter 18, you can see that Saul is beginning to be aware that David is possibly the successor to his throne, God's chosen successor. Right? And he started to keep an eye, and he felt threatened. Right? He felt threatened, you know, and see David as the competitor to the throne, a very serious threat to him, and he's not ready to come down or step down yet. And it doesn't help that there are ladies dancing, you know, after a battle. You know, the ladies are dancing. Wow, Saul killed 1,000, David killed 5,000, right? And it doesn't help because that stirs that kind of a deep insecurity in him. That stirs his own inadequacies. And that comparison that people made between him and David really was eating into him. And because of that, he was determined. He conspired, you know, and even when he was just right in front of him, he speared him two times and he still can siam, right? And because of that, he went on and put him in the battlefields, right? Difficult battlefields, so that in the battlefront he could get killed, David could get killed. But David, you know, you see in the word, David, you know, served wisely. You know, he was there, God's favor was with him, and even used his own family, you know, to even the marriage to try to get rid of David. All the details are there in chapter 18. But yet, David was still there, right? God is with David. And Saul, to a certain extent, knew it. So the word says he feared David, right? But Saul's heart, it's not just going against David. His enmity with David, ultimately, you know, this is his going against God. His heart, you know, you can see that his rebellion heart was being exposed and seen, that in the end, it became a full-blown rebellion against God's purpose, against God's way, and against God's chosen successor. So David is just happened to be there. Right, and God painted to us through this situation the heart of Saul. And that's why God said that he regretted putting Saul as a king. That's why Prophet Samuel mourned for Saul even before his death. This is because before all this happened, they already saw what is in Saul's heart. Okay, this picture was taken many years ago. And you see the sweet young boy with a tie. You know, it's very easy to identify me. I'm the only one wearing a tie. I don't know why I was wearing a tie at that point of time. I cannot remember. Everyone is it's not with a tie. And it is a picture where, you know, during that period, about 20 years ago, that I attended a campus camp. Right, in this campus camp, there's a speaker, and this speaker God gave her a ministry in deliverance and prophecy, and he ministered to all of us, and she prayed for me. And during her prayer, she said that, alright, Sing Yan, you are a filial son. Right, a filial son. So, wow, okay. You know, there's something positive, right? So, a filial son, okay. And then, And then he went on, you know, usually when you give feedback, right, you give the positive first, then you give the negative, right? So in this case, he went on and said that, you can be quite rebellious, you know. Yeah, so I said, rebellious? You know, I'm a bit off, I think, you know. So, because, look at me, I'm a compliant, obedient kid, you know, I always grow up as a very easygoing, you know, quite submitting to authority, and yeah, but God, you know, God has His, He knows, you know, and that was 24 years ago. Now you ask me whether I still feel that it is very, no, not in my vocab, I can't say that anymore, right? Because God has His ways to bring something that's inside us to the open. Yeah? God does it in different ways, using people to reflect upon us and everything. And since then, I got married, right? And I became a father. And God used some of these circumstances and situation to bring out that side of me that I was shocked to even see. Yeah, but His intention is good. God confronts us because of His love for us. And even the side of us that we can't imagine seeing. It's in our journey of self-awareness, in our journey of growth and maturing as a person, as Christians. So, you know, God uses and places people under the right circumstances, the people with the king's mirror. So there are people that, in the sovereignty, that function as a mirror to reflect upon back to us. And we need a community to do that. You know, in this case, David was reflecting with the king's mirror. You know, he was there, positioned there, and with him, because of that, you see Saul responding, reacting. And we could see Saul, it brings out the words of Saul. Right? It brings out the words of Saul. And it's an unpleasant sight. It's an unpleasant sight. And chapter 18, you know, just explain explicitly what was going on in the heart of the king. So, you know, what can we learn? What can we learn from this account? And we know that Saul went on to hunt David down until the very end. You know, he did not stop. His hunt and his desire and motive and his desire, determination to eliminate David did not stop until the very end. What can we learn from this account? When we have a little glimpse into Saul's heart and life in 1 Samuel 18. I believe there are three fundamental truths and principles that we can apply in our life. First, we need to know that God confronts us in His love. God show us, you know, even sides of us that's difficult to face out of His love. Right? We need to be attentive and reflect. Secondly, when God show it to us, He requires our cooperation. And then a response, and we need to be honest and respond. We need to call a spade a spade. We need to be true to what we see, what God is showing to us, and to be true to ourselves. And God, thirdly, God brings people along our path. Right? God brings those people who sometimes, you know, may not say things that we want to hear. God brings people that sometimes trigger us or brings out the worst in us. But it's part of His plan to help us to be more aware of what is going on in our hearts and be humble, be grateful that God has such a community around us. Be humble and receive them into our lives. First and foremost, God confronts us in His love. Right? You know, Saul became a king at the age of 30. And for 30 over years, Samuel was with him. And by the time in chapter 18, he's about 67 years old. Studies shows that he's about 60 plus years old. For PAP standard, for Singapore standard, it's time to retire. Right? And at least for us as staff, 67 is recontracting. Yeah. So, if Saul could have all these years, if Saul could have paid more serious attention to what Samuel has been telling him, if Saul could have taken a step back and reflect and do this introspection, his life could have taken a different turn. If he could see God showing him the side of him that he doesn't like, out of God's love, if God, he see this confrontation not as judgment or condemnation, see it's God's loving act for him to redeem him, perhaps he could have responded better, you know, to Samuel. You know, God confronts us and shows us what is in our hearts, you know, for his redeeming purpose, right? And a lot of times we move from one meeting to another meeting, we move from one place to another place, we move from work to home, we move from one activity to another activity, we rush from one day to another day. You know, the kind of fast-paced life in Singapore doesn't really help us to pause and reflect, right? And at times when we go through life, a lot of our reaction, our triggers, we don't even have time to bring that before the Lord. And that is to our disadvantage, right? And so we need to pay attention and reflect on what God is showing us through life, through our relationship with people, and through the Word. Especially that side that we don't like. Especially that reaction from us that we don't like. As mentioned, you know, after marriage, life has not been the same again, right? And we fall all in love, and when after marriage, we can easily say that, wow, it's very challenging. You can even sleep and fell out of love, right? Marriage can bring out the best of us or the worst in us. And for my situation, I you know, there was one incident, you know, after I remember, I was so stretched. I was such in a heated argument. You know, my wife and my three, you know, my daughter is about less than 6 months old. And I remember it was so heated that I rushed out to the door and wanted to leave, right? Because I was so angry, right? And my wife begged me, and she was like on her knees, you know, in tears. And what, for me, I was still, my heart still haven't softened yet. Yeah, I see them, you know, in their knees and crying. I still leave the house, you know. I tell you, this is what happened, you know. Yeah, when you don't spend time reflecting. I was in that rage. So I left the house regardless. Yeah, I was so justified in my own anger. I feel that I have every right to be angry, and I have every right. So I know that in my mind I should go back, right? But I went on. I went outside. I stayed outside. I was just basking in my righteous anger. You know, I soaking, you know, my righteous anger. Wow, you know, serve them right, serve them right. So I don't know. You know, I just then God, when you reflect, and God says, look at that, you know, your heart. Oh, very rebellious, huh? You know, so well, I can laugh, huh? When God confronts you, it's not about what you do or don't do. It's more on the condition of your heart. And when your heart can do such a thing, it's very humbling, right? It's very humbling. So when you reflect back and say, what in the world has happened? You know, how come you become like that? So I realized that I have this thing about handling my emotions, right? And sometimes my emotions get escalated at the right trigger, at the right circumstances. But God is good, you know. God provided a counselor. You know, I was attending a conference, and there's this booth everywhere, and I just happened to talk to this guy from this organization, and he happened to be a counselor. So I talked intently more in him than he's specialized in anger management. And I said, wow, so Jun, you know, God must have provided him, you know. So I went on to engage him in some deeper conversation, because you can go for a counseling session without having to pay, ma. You know, you talk to him, you know, at a booth. So I realized, he said that I specialize in anger management because I too went through a journey, a challenge. And to him, he shared openly to me that he in his rage, at one incident, he took a TV and threw, you know, the TV right in front of his family. And I said, wow, that's very powerful, you know. For me, I didn't throw anything, you know. The worst thing that I threw, it was a blanket, you know. And I was so angry, you know, that I in my mind, I know that I cannot get hold of any object, hard objects. So I took a blanket, you know. I ran out to my door and I threw the blanket out from the HDB flat, you know. And someone must have provided, see from the bottom, a free blanket, you know. And yeah, I have to use all my might to fence out the anger, yeah, and to throw it. So that's my blanket incident. So that the picture there. But he and no, the counselor and myself know that this is, we all suffer. I mean, we struggle with the same thing. Yeah, whether blanket or TV, issue is still the same. So it took a while for me to recognize, you know, what is happening and to call a spade a spade. You know, so honesty and humility is key for us to grow in this spiritual introspection. When God shows us that side of us, sometimes, you know, we want to reason and rationalize that it's an isolated incident. But God will show us. And that's my daughter. Right? Very cute, right? Yeah, very cute. So you know, there was this conversation that I had with my wife. So we talk. Then suddenly, my daughter came to me. She said, "Be nice to mommy." You know, so I said, "Be nice? I'm very nice to mommy. What I mean, be nice to?" So she picked up that there's already one notch. And when I talked to my wife, I went up a little bit, a notch higher already. She sensed it, you know, and she reflected back to me. So when she said that to me, I thought, it's like God using a donkey to speak to me. Oh, you know? Yeah. You know, so God places people, you know, in our lives to reflect back to us. So it's, that's why it's, you must pay attention and reflect. And a lot of times it's not just I am who I am, you know, this is just me, it's an incident. All of us are the same, you know, we behave this way, of course. But you know, it'd be wise for us to pause and reflect. You know, because we are sometimes blinded, we have our blind spots. And at that time, I still think that I'm talking very nicely to my wife until my daughter say, "Be nice to mommy." Yeah, and I realized, okay, one notch higher already, so you have to go down one notch. You know, just cool down, you know. And when God shows this kind of truth into you, sometimes your area of weakness, right, it helps for you to come in agreement, the kind of honesty and humility as we cooperate with God in growing, in learning. And we have to be true to ourselves and see God, how God sees us, right? And we call a spade a spade. I mean, this kind of thing, sometimes we can just hide. Nobody will know, right? People will not know. We always put our best foot forward. But God loves us enough. God loves us deeply, strongly, robustly. His love for us is not just those sides that we like about ourselves. His love for us is all encompassing. He sees the darkest recesses of our hearts and he says that, "I love you." Okay? So when God says that, he's not saying the way our wife says it to us, not saying the way another person tells it to us. When he says God loves you, he means what he says. He knows what he's saying. And that includes the darkest side of you. He knew, he can see it, and he said that, "I know, I love you." Right? So that is something that we all need to know, because that we need that to face ourselves. We need that to have the grace and the strength and the capacity to face that side of us that we ourselves are ashamed of. We ourselves don't like. We don't show that to people often. Yeah. So God requires us to be honest with ourselves. And if Saul could be more honest with himself, perhaps he could see the state of his heart clearer. Right? If Saul could be more honest and open about what is happening in his heart, so when Samuel confronted him, perhaps his self-awareness will help him. But over the 30 years, I suspect that Saul has already developed a system to reason out, to brush aside, you know, to justify himself. In his mind, he already developed that kind of system because he's the king. He's chosen by God. And he has a power, a status, position. And that is sometimes not helpful in our journey of reflection. You know, if we do not handle such a position well. If we don't look at our weaknesses and flaws humbly and honestly, we risk, you know, if we do all this justification, rationalization enough, we end up deceiving ourselves. You know, we lie to ourselves that we are not like that. And we can do a good job in that. And that can happen. And then the Bible is very open about that. Right? So that's why James, the Apostle James, said this in the passage that we read. We need to see our mistakes and faults and blind spots as what they are. And I really like this kind of confession and self-reflection by famous people. And Madonna, you know, how many of you grew up with Madonna? Madonna. McDonald's, or not Madonna, right? How many of you grew up in that age of 1980s, right? The pop singer. She now reflect back on her own life, you know, and she recollect, you know, when she was young, starting off in the entertainment business. She said that she I want to rule the world, right? In that kind of foolish pride or desire. Even 30, 40 years later, she said this, you know, oh, so sorry to say that. You know, when I was, you know, the time, I really wanted to be somebody because I feel like I'm nobody. You know, so it's quite you know, it's interesting when people are really honest about where they are at. And then there's no hiding or you know, and it comes out in an honest account. Another one is by this Gloria Naylor, American novelist. She say this very truthful, statement that caught my attention. He said that I think that I am capable of the most degrading, the most heinous acts that have ever perpetrated on this earth. Of what Hitler or Idi Amin did, I am capable of that. You know, many of us, you know, we will be very quick to distance ourselves from these hardcore criminals. Now, many of us will say that, you know, in no way, in no circumstances, that we will become like that. We will do such a thing. You know, we are far away from that, you know. There's no way where we can do that. Yeah. These are crazy people. Yeah. But she made this statement. Yeah. And I think that, you know, instead of saying we are not capable of such horrendous crime of humanity, I think it would be wise not to jump into such premature conclusion. I think this kind of confession is only possible when we have a deep examination of ourselves with a certain courage and humility in the light of God's truth. And I submit to you that this is part of our journey, our personal growth to as Christian, as people. It's humbling. It's humbling to see. You know, and humbling to see that side of us that we are not especially pleased. But God has accepted us at where we are. Right? God has accepted and received you as his child at where we are. You know? You see, the word says that while we are still sinners, you know, he has come and died for us. So he has accepted us as who we are. And that is something that he say, you know, that there's a truth. But he doesn't leave us there, right? The whole plan of salvation is not just the justification where he justifies us by Christ, but it's the whole process of saving us. And that includes the whole process of redeeming our hearts, the depths of our hearts, especially the side of us that need to be purified, right? To be redeemed, that side of us that we feel even shameful about. And that is part of growing to see with an honest and sober reflection of where we are and the state of our heart. It's not easy, but in his love and grace, it's possible for us to confront them, to grow in this area, bit by bit, slowly but surely. And it's through this whole practice of spiritual introspection. And we need people to come alongside with us. You know, people with the King's mirror. People who dare to speak into our lives. And we need to build as many mirrors, so-called, you know, in our lives. Communities, friends, people that will dare to reflect back to us. And have the courage to share the truth in love with us. And recently I had this leaders retreat a month ago. And the whole interesting experience that we had is the time where we share our own challenges in our family, as husband, in our marriage, in a very honest way. You know, when your spouse start to talk a little bit about you, then you have certain reactions. And sometimes my reaction is, did I say that? You are exaggerating. And I wouldn't use this kind of word to describe what I say. You know, sometimes it's very refreshing when your spouse, who knows you, start to share how they are affected by your actions and words. And it is where the community comes in to reflect back to you about your actions, about who you are, right, and what you did. And we need this community to journey with us. And when the good thing is the doing this retreat is that the ease that we can share with one another without having that worry how the person or the people will look at you differently. Right? So we need this kind of community that will bring you in this journey of healing, this journey of learning and growing. Saul have been with Samuel for 30 years, as we shared. And then at the end, the only person who can dare to correct him, you know, indirectly or directly, he pushed him away. You know, Saul, at chapter 18, Samuel has already left him. And then when Samuel, the person, the king's mirror, out of the picture, you could see Saul, you know, his behavior, he went on unabated. You know, he just went on to do what he feels is right in his own eyes. We need people to reflect back to us. We must appreciate people, not just people who say the right things and say what we want to hear, people who give us positive vibes, but people who dare to speak into our lives, who dare to ask us to check on ourselves. These people, we have to be grateful and receive them into a community. We cannot surround ourselves with people who just say nice things, right? So we need to invest in relationships, connect to communities, whether in cell groups, ministry groups, SIG, you know, and your personal way and space, and invest in building relationships. Because it takes time. You know, this kind of atmosphere and relationship and trust, it takes years to build before we reach to the kind of level where they can speak into your life, right? And you feel at ease sharing openly, yeah, without feeling judged. And we have a cluster gathering, you know, recently that where we want to meet three or four cell groups in one go. And we were sharing about the whole importance of community, growing in the community. And there's a leader who asked me, "So Pastor, are you in your cell group? Are you in a cell group yourself?" So I shared with her, yes, you know, I was in and everything. But I think more importantly is that, do you believe that you need help? Do you believe that, you know, you can grow, you know, better with more people coming alongside with you? Do you believe you need help, or you are able to handle things, all these things? Because the journey of spiritual introspection is not easy. And we need support. We need help. We need people to go around us. And I'm part of a cell group. You know, I joined this cell group about 3 years ago. Yeah, when I first joined the cell group, people were feeling a little bit uncomfortable because I wear that responsibility and cap as a pastor. So they end up asking me a lot of church ministry stuff until the cell leader says, stop. Sing Yen is here on a personal capacity. He's here to grow like all of us here in our spiritual journey. Right? And I'm grateful that they have accepted me as who I am, and accepted me as a husband who is, you know, learning and to be better husband, to be a better father. I thank God that they are able to just input into our life and just share with me openly, and there to point out things that I feel that can improve in my life. So I'm grateful for that, and I believe and I hope, and all of us will invest in such people. And bring such people into our lives. Because this is part, an important part of growing as a community of Christ. And I want to close to saying that God, which I've said, but I don't close, that God's love for us is robust. He loves us deeply, and that includes the side of us that sometimes we can't even face ourselves. And that His whole purpose of His salvation is for us to grow, you know, from that point, and to grow to the level that's more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And that will include for us to be very honest with where we are at. It's not just all the things that we do that is pleasing to Him, but also times when we make mistakes, times where we fail, times where we see that weaknesses of ourselves being expressed. God, in His sovereignty and His love for us, want us to grow in that area as well. So welcome people, Samuels, in your life. Right? These are the most valuable, your most valuable, honest critics. Right? Appreciate them. Be grateful they are willing to speak hard truths into your lives. Embrace people like David. You know, people who sometimes just brings the worst out of you. Yeah, you know, don't repel them from your community and lives. You know, for all you know, God is placing them in your life and your path to reflect upon you what is inside you. Yeah, if you be introspective, God will show us. You know, and that's how in His sovereignty grace bring us into this kind of a growth to be more like His Son. Right? You know, these people like David, who cause to see the worst of Saul, they may cause you to see the ugly side of you, but God uses them to redeem us, right? To show us like a king's mirror, like a mirror. Right? Along the way, as we move along this journey, right, we know we also learn to become less judgmental. We become more patient with people's faults, more willing to extend grace and forgiveness, because we know God is using them to reflect upon us, that we too share in this common journey of learning, growth, and transformation. And that is growing through the practice and power of spiritual introspection. I believe this is a good time that we can close, you know, with a heart of gratitude for what God is doing in our lives. You know, God has saved us. God is saving you, saving us, and God will save us. And God, this whole process is ongoing, and God is not finished with us yet. And He's doing that deep work in our lives. And I'd like you to just invite you to stand and respond to the Lord through worship. You know, we won't appreciate deeply what God has done for us. You know, because if you just keep focusing on what God has saved us towards, and we don't look at what God has saved us from, we won't have the balanced full picture of His salvation plan. And God, in His journey with us, will show us, you know, the depth of His love for us, the robustness of His salvation plan, the power of the gospel to change us, not just in our behavior, but to change our hearts. And that is something that we worship God, because He is doing that. He has the power to do that. But we need to yield and surrender to Him. We need to be honest and call a spade a spade. We need to come humbly and acknowledge what God is saying to us through circumstances, through relationships. And we do that, we are in that journey. In a journey of reflecting, journey of introspection, and journey to be transformed into His image more and more. And that is going to be deeper than just the do and don'ts. Right? It's our hearts. And let's really respond to the Lord, and I'll invite the worship team to bring us to this moment of worship. And I trust that God will minister to us. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the cross, the mighty cross. The God Himself should die for such as us. And every day we're changed into Your image more and more. Yes, by the cross we've truly been transformed. So amazed, and we give You praise that You would save us at such a cost. We're so amazed, and we give You praise for the power. The mighty cross, and God Himself should die for such as us. And every day we're changed into Your image more and more. It's by the cross we truly been transformed. It's so
I just want to commit my brothers and sisters here, including myself, to You. Lord, we thank You for the power of the cross. We thank You for the testimony that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just that, you know, it's a religion of do's and don'ts, but Lord, that power of what it means to walk with You in such an intimate relationship. And that relationship, you know, that can save us and move us from one place to another place, and can redeem our hearts and mold it to reflect your desire, reflect your character more and more. So God, I thank you that, you know, we know that you are doing that in our lives. Help us to continue to cooperate with you, to submit to you, to walk in that surrenderedness of our hearts to you, so that you can work in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. If you need prayer, pastors and leaders are here to stand with you. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruz.org.sg. God bless.